Good morning. It's great to see you in worship this morning, and a welcome to those who are joining us online. It was just, there was that moment of silence, and I think there's been so little silence in my life for the last wee while, mainly because of family, I think, but it was just nice to hear the almost nothing. And a happy new year to those of you I haven't greeted so far. I'll no doubt see you at the door to say a happy new year. But I'll hand over to Derek, who's going to take us through one or two intimations.
Thank you, Norman. And as it says, happy new year up there too. So happy new year from us all. Welcome to the service of worship this morning, especially if you're here visiting or for the first time. And we do have a visitor's book. If that's the case, you might want to sign it. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema, as part of the Warm Welcome Initiative, the church is open on Thursday afternoons from 1 to 5 until the end of March. And we have the cinema showing a film every week. The next two films are this week, Downton Abbey, the grand finale, that's on the 8th, and that will be followed by The Duke on the 15th of January. The films start at 2, admission is free, tea, coffee and biscuits are provided. Note there that we will celebrate Holy Communion on Sunday the 18th of this month. The cycling club will be going out for their night out on next Saturday the 10th down at Couris at the Red Line, and we start cycling on the 14th of February, which is there for just for completeness. And the February outing is weather dependent. It will be the first Saturday that we have decent weather. The walking group's going to meet this month later on Sunday the 18th in the afternoon to plan the programme for the year. Now, there are further intimations on the sheet, the printed sheet, which can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you don't have your own copy. So finally, for those on Zoom, here is the order of service. There we go. Thank you.
So if we're cycling on the 14th of February, does that mean we love our bikes? You'll have to tell us the joke after. Anyway, we are here to worship Almighty God. The first hymn might not look too familiar, but it is a familiar hymn tune, so we should be fine. The service is themed around the visit of the Magi, so we begin with hymn 325, Bethlehem, a Noble City.
Thank you.
I should have thought the offering plate was sitting there. So, having ended last year wondering if ever I'll learn how to be a minister, I'm beginning this year with much the same. Although I suppose I could blame Derek, but that might be unfair. So let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, as we think of the Magi bringing gifts to the Christ child, we think of the gifts that we can offer. We cannot offer gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but we can offer our love, our dedication, our faith, and our service. So we ask you to receive our gifts, gifts of money, gifts of time, gifts of talent, for we offer these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you are looking at the order of service, you'll realize that Derek is leading us in prayer this morning. So our prayers of approach and confession. Derek.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we offer our praise, our thanks, and our confession. We are gathered this morning to remember again your great gift of love of Jesus, who became human, bringing light into this troubled world. In gladness, like generations before us, we hail that light, in certain hope that mercy, grace, and peace will overcome all darkness as the challenges and possibilities of a new year lie before us. Lord, we know that just like the Magi, we love patterns. We seek order in preference to chaos. We love the routine and familiar, but we find excitement in anything new. And we are curious, determined even to discover all we can about something new, to reach a new level of understanding. In you, we have the greatest comfort in your permanence. In a way we cannot understand, you are apart from even the cosmos. You are unchanging, unaffected by the passing of time. But you are creator too. You made all things new. We know that one day we will see another new creation. And with you, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible. We have the ability through faith to do wonderful new things. As we look forward to 2026 this morning, to filling up new diaries and calendars, and maybe even fulfilling our earthly New Year's resolutions, we resolve first to follow Jesus in all things, to seek your plan for our lives, to truly be your children and spread the good news of the gospel in the days and months ahead. Father, we adore and praise you. We give thanks for all that you give us, physically and spiritually. We take time now to confess that we have failed to live up to your faith in us. In many ways, each day we have let you down, in anger, in vanity, in selfishness, in lacking courage, in preferring our own comfort, and all sorts of other ways. We take time now in silence to bring you our personal confession. Lord God, we ask forgiveness for our sins in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Today, at the start of this new year, turn us around. Recalibrate our lives that we may serve you better from now on. We conclude and sum up our prayer by saying the words Jesus taught us to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 326, As With Gladness, Men of Old. For many people, this weekend marks the end of Christmas and New Year's celebration. Some folk will keep their trees and decorations up until Epiphany, or 12th day of Christmas as we tend to know it. But perhaps more households will be getting ready for normality, and maybe even welcoming a return to more normal routines as we go into the first week of January 2026. Tomorrow, for many, a normal working day, and here in Fife, the schools return. From Thursday past to this weekend, and on into the week ahead, our standard greeting will be Happy New Year. Advent and Christmas very quickly recede into the past as these first days of the new year seem to pass slowly. We know that in a very short time the year will start accelerating. I know that time is a constant, but it doesn't appear that way. And each year seems to pass quicker than the last. It may seem a little bit odd to have what is clearly part of the Christmas story as a theme for worship as we leave Christmas and New Year celebration behind and journey into 2026. But when we read the story of the Magi in Matthew's Gospel, that story reads like a disruption of normal life. What is it that we think of as the Christmas story? Well, there are probably three versions. The first version of the Christmas story is that popular picture found in nativity plays and presented in art and on Christmas cards. We begin the Christmas story with the visit of the angel to Mary, and we conclude with a kind of tableau, a picture of the manger surrounded by shepherds and wise men and all the animals, and everything is nice and neatly rounded off. And that's the nativity. It's what we pack away into a box or into a plastic bag, and it goes into the loft for next year. The second picture we have, and I hope you've got a good bit of this picture, and is understanding the Christmas story with a fair bit of what is adult. We think about the characters, about Mary and Joseph, shepherds and magi, and wonder how they reacted and how they lived in a real world. But that picture is still heavily influenced by what we think is in the Bible story. The third picture is in many ways incomplete and full of difficult questions. This is the story that if we go and say, right, I'm not going to think of what I believe to be there. I'm actually going to read what is there. It's not complete. There's lots of things missing. The story told in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke present more problems than answers. And of course, Matthew's Gospel, where we find the Magi, doesn't end neatly concluded by the Magi offering gifts. It's a story that is ruined in many ways by reality. The birth narratives in Matthew and Luke were never meant to be complete stories in themselves. As a number of Bible commentators have said, the purpose of the story of Jesus' birth is to introduce Jesus and to say, read on. You want to know who this person is, not pack Christmas away and bring it out next year. The story of the Magi has a number of symbolic elements, not least of these, the symbolism of the gifts that we recognize telling something about who Jesus will be. There is also that symbolism that is the Magi representing us as part of the Gentile world, the world outside Judaism. But it is also a story about a world where safety is not guaranteed and power is misused by those in authority. We're going to read that story now. Marion is going to read for us Matthew chapter 2 and 18 verses. And that includes the bit of the Christmas story that we very often don't read and we don't tend not to put into what would be a children's nativity. So, Marion.
This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 18, the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Amen.
We're going to sing from Mission Praise, a Christmas hymn that we don't often sing in church. In fact, Derek was saying he had to type this out because it wasn't in our library of songs, and I had to do the same for Limekilns. And it is quite long, so we had a lot of typing to do. But it is a song that tells us about the visit of the Magi. And it is good for us to sing these words. And I'm sure we know it very well. "We three kings of Orient are." Just before Christmas, I watched a short YouTube video that Eleanor had used with her primary school class. In cartoon form, it told the Christmas story, but with lots of little interruptions. And each interruption was a correction to the popular story by putting in what was there in the Bible. It was only about 3.5 minutes long, but it was really good, and I understood it perfectly because she'd used it with a primary 2-3 class, which is possibly about my level. It was a simple, amusing presentation designed for primary age children. So we were reminded of things like the lack of a donkey, or a stable, no innkeeper, not even an inn, just the lack of a guest room, and hence the use of a manger. When it came to the Magi, a reminder that they arrived later in the story and went to a house and not a shelter for animals. Last Sunday, one of the passages we used in worship was from the story of Jesus being presented at the temple, part of Luke's account of Jesus' birth. And there, Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple in accordance with the law of Moses. This would have happened around 40 days after Jesus' birth. So although the story of the visit of the Magi is not in Luke's gospel, it's in Matthew's gospel, the account in Luke would say to us that the Magi could not have arrived when Jesus was in a manger. Putting the two accounts together makes that impossible. In Matthew's gospel, we are told the Magi went to the house where Jesus was, and the word that is used for Jesus is child, not baby. And most scholars, looking at what Herod says and does, believe that probably Jesus was somewhere around 2 years old when the Magi arrived. The ending to the story of the Nativity in Matthew allows the intrusion of a kind of brutal reality that is certainly not limited to the world of first century Judea. The romanticized story of the Nativity has many elements that are not in the Bible, and it makes for a nice, complete story, something that can be acted by children. And I'm certainly glad to know that Nativity plays and the Nativity story are part of our Christmas celebration. We've often noted that there is a lot of good theology in the Christmas carols and Christmas hymns that we sing, but there is also a lot of artistic license there too. We find mention of a stable or cattle shed, ox and ass before him bow. None of this is in the biblical account. There's no little donkey and certainly no little drummer boy. But I wouldn't want us to change our Christmas carols. And what about away in a manger? Possibly the least theological of our Christmas hymns. We're told that the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, and yet we believe that Jesus' humanity is like our humanity. Of course he cried if he was a normal baby. But could you imagine Christmas without a way in a manger? I certainly wouldn't want to exclude this children's hymn, nor do I believe that we should rewrite popular carols to exclude non-biblical elements. But it is important that we know fact from fiction. It is also important that we ask questions and seek what is true. If you read Matthew's gospel, there is a constant theme of Jesus fulfilling what the prophets foretold. Again and again, we are told that words or events fulfill what was written by the prophets. Clearly, this gospel is written for a Hebrew audience and the Jewish people. And that makes the Magi stand out. They shouldn't be there. We rightly read the story of the Magi as part of the story of Christmas that includes the Gentile world beyond Judaism. And Matthew clearly wants us to know that Jesus is not only the Jewish Messiah, but he is also far beyond that, because it is Matthew writing for the Jewish people that includes the story of the Magi. If we only knew Luke and Matthew and not the Christmas stories that they include, we would see that Luke is very clearly written for the Gentile world and Matthew is very clearly written for a Jewish audience. And so if we were to guess, we would probably say shepherds in Matthew and Magi in Luke, but it's the other way around. The Magi are foreigners, outsiders, known for worshipping other gods and divining their purposes from a practice forbidden in God's law. Astrology is expressly forbidden. The Magi are spiritually wrong and a political problem. Herod rules by Roman consent. His only task is to ensure peace. Well, maybe I should qualify that and say peace and taxes. In Judea, if Herod gets it wrong, he will be deposed by Rome. In Jerusalem, where Herod didn't go an awful lot, the temple authorities hold sway, and they operate on a very different kind of compromise with Rome. But in the middle of this story, we have what historians recognize as Herod's paranoia. History records Herod as someone who had members of his own family executed because his authority was threatened, or at least he perceived his family to be a threat. And so, into Jerusalem at a difficult time in history, with a paranoid ruler, the Magi arrive, not kings, but a priestly elite who advised the rulers of that area that we would think of as Iran and Iraq. We assume, and should assume, that they arrived with a substantial retinue. Well, I suppose they had a revenue as well, since they had all those gifts. But that retinue of servants and soldiers, they initially would have posed a threat of invasion in themselves, but that quickly transforms into a question. Not a question that Herod wants to hear. A new king born, and clearly not born in his palace. This is all Herod needs. No wonder Jerusalem is disturbed. No one is safe when Herod is upset. If we read between the lines, we can sense Herod using subterfuge rather than physical force. These visitors are too powerful, they're too dangerous for him to use force. So, why don't you go and do this thing and come back and speak to me? And everything will be fine, because you'll go back to your own country and I can do what I need to do here. We know the symbolism that are applied to the gifts presented by the Magi, telling us who this child will become. Perhaps we should also pick up something of what they symbolize as non-Jews, the world outside Judaism, because this Saviour is not just the Jewish Messiah. He's the Saviour of the world. And that in itself is a declaration that the Messiah will go beyond the bounds of what people believed the Messiah should be. Too often we assume that God will be bound by what we believe is a right theology, as if we know by what limits God is bound. The Christmas story, it's ruined by the Magi. They bring a cruel world into that story. They bring politics and the misuse of power into that story. They don't fit the confines of human understanding, and they leave a whole lot of questions. And that's exactly what they're meant to do. Who is this Jesus? This perfect light of which we just sang. Who will this child become? Christmas is never meant to be the nativity scene put in a box and back in the attic. It was always meant to be there as a puzzle, saying to people who heard the beginning of the gospel, you want to read on and know who this person will be. And we are those who declare that Christmas doesn't end when you put the decorations away. Christmas is about the eternal Son of God coming into our world, a world just as cruel and nasty as it was in the first century, where leaders today would do exactly the same as Herod, where we see power misused and people abused. And into this world comes the light, that perfect light, who is the Word of God for us. Amen. We're going to sing about the child in the manger. Hymn number 314, Child in the Manger, Infant of Mary. Going to lead us now in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray for our world. We think first of what we hear in the news concerning Venezuela, what the intervention of the United States means for the people there, and what it means for the world. As a consequence, we've learned more about a troubled nation living in poverty under a dictator, but we worry that another more powerful state feels able to impose its will, and we worry what the consequences may be for the world order. When we think of the wars in Gaza and Ukraine continuing into another year, we feel disheartened. We remember anew all who have been bereaved, the injured, the dispossessed, and the many thousands of refugees. We know that violence prevails in many other places too, that racial and tribal and religious discrimination takes place, that people are oppressed, and that other abuses of power are happening. Lord, we pray for peace in our world. We pray for good and just government. We pray for an end to hatred. We pray for fair and open trade. We pray for a better world. Father, we think too of our parish at the start of this new year. We know there are people living with illness and infirmity, those who have impairments, people who are lonely. We think about the bereaved. We think about carers. We think about those with money problems, those feeling insecure in employment or whose employment asks too much of them, and those who are seeking jobs. We think about all the new houses being built and the new people moving into our village. Lord, we pray for our parish and its people. We pray that all in need might find the help they need. Enable us to reach out and help where we can. We pray for the church. We pray for the future of our own church as the way forward begins to take shape. And we think about coming together with the folk in Limekilns and Cowras and Torryburn. We pray for our minister Norman as he and Karen plan for retirement, and we think of the changes that will bring for them and for our churches. We think of other congregations in the Church of Scotland who have gone through the process or will be doing so in the months and years ahead. And we think of your wider church in this country and around the world, a church growing in some places and not so in others. A church constrained or even persecuted in some places too. Lord, we pray for the church in Cairnhill, in Scotland and in the world. May the actions of your church and your people everywhere match the words that we proclaim. Help us to find your will and purpose for our church and take your work forward to your glory. Father, we take time now to bring our personal prayers to you, our prayers for those known to us and for ourselves. Father, we bring your prayers knowing and trusting in your response, in your time and in your way, and we ask everything in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Amen.
We're going to conclude worship by singing Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn number 324. Go now into a new year with the light of Christ and the hope of Christmas, with all the blessings of God in your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, now and forever.